Are you struggling to hire diverse tech talent? After all, every organization in the world is now a tech company, and the ability to attract, hire, and retain tech talent from all backgrounds is critical to their success. Enter Hackajob, a reverse marketplace that actively vets engineers. We flip the traditional model on its head, meaning companies apply to engineers versus candidates applying to jobs, with companies getting an 85% response rate to candidates they reach out to, as well as exposure to tech talent that directly meets their organization's diversity objectives. Companies such as S&P Global, CarMax, and Sensor Tower are all using Hackajob. Why not join them? Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today. Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Two guys who have never taken and will never take a cognitive test. What's up, kids? You are listening to the Chad and Cheese Podcast. I'm your co-host, Joel, person, woman, man, camera, TV, Cheeseman.
This is Chad. Sorry I'm late. So wash.
And on this episode, LinkedIn feels violated, a Gen Z job board hatches, and page up, hose down. Let's do this.
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait, the Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman, I'm talking about TextKernel.
Ah, okay, that makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it,
yeah,
simplicity. Seriously, though, seriously. TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh, my God. Really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey, kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener, get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit TextKernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos. What's up, man? How's the shoulder? How's the wing? How's the wing treating you?
Had physical therapy for the first time this morning. All is well in the, you know, in the Soash hood. I'm just getting used to not being able to use my dominant right arm, number one. And sleeping is really the biggest bitch because I've got to wear this thing. I can only sleep in one position. And when you get into, like, you know, 6 to 8 hours, you know, you start to get sore when you can't move. So I'm not sleeping a good 8 hours.
Is the one position on your back?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I've got to wear my sling.
To the back. Yeah, to the back.
Not the best.
So it works. So this is wild. So last week here in Central Indiana, we got a little bit of snow. We had the All-Star game, if you're an NBA fan. So it was kind of a busy week here.
How much did you guys get? How much snow? We got about 6 inches.
Yeah, I'm going to say 4 to 5.
Okay.
Yeah, easily. So I go to my local Kroger. I know that's your favorite store to get your get your products, and I'm pulling in and it's packed, and I'm thinking, oh, did I miss the apocalypse announcement? Did I miss, like, we're going to get a few inches of snow? This is not that bad. So I'm walking in, and there's this huge line of people, and at the end of the line is 50 Cent. 50 Cent was at my local Kroger signing bottles.
Was he rapping? What was going on?
No rapping. He was signing bottles of cognac. Apparently, he has launched a 50 Cent brand of cognac. So he was there signing bottles. Of course, it's a great trick to say, you have to buy the bottle if I'm going to sign it. These are probably a lot of people who hate cognac or have never had it. I personally am against the whole celebrity booze trend. I don't know how you feel about it. I know you love Ryan Reynolds. He's got a gin.
Why are you against it?
I just think it cheapens the whole history of the booze, man. Like,
you're turning more into a socialist day by day.
Every liquor is rooted in, you know, history and old people that made this stuff, and then some celebrity. It's not like 50 Cent has a distillery, you know, in his mansion, you know, brewing this stuff. He private labels it from whoever's making it, and then they try to sell it. I don't buy it. If you do, that's all good.
I'm not a cognac guy. Aviation gin, definitely have some of that downstairs. Mm-hmm. I mean, gin's gin. Give me a break. There's some really good gin.
You and I could make some gin.
Really good gin in Europe, though. Really good gin. I think they're the storied pasts. Those are the ones who actually get more. They get more dollar value out of them. Take a look at like some of the Snoop Dogg wines. I mean, they're going for like $14.99 or something. Martha Stewart. Like that.
You know, yeah. P. Diddy, I can't get into it.
And again, it's interesting because here in the U.S., we productize the shit out of everything.
Hey, I'm all for the abundance of American consumerism. I just don't like a celebrity, you know.
Shout out!
Pouring in my drinks. All right, enough of that talk. Let's get to shout outs. My first one goes to our friends at FAMA. Of course, you know, FAMA is run by our friend Ben Monez. That's
Monez.
Right. Ben Monez. They have, if you don't know what they do for our listeners, they track Twitter, social media. So if your new hire is spouting off about Nazism or, you know, like racism, et cetera, they'll give you a heads up that, hey, here's a red flag about this new candidate. Yep. Well, they just announced that they can now monitor TikTok videos, which I think is huge if they can pull that off, because I think that the Glassdoor, you know, write a 3-paragraph review of the company that I work for is like so you know,
dead.
Old people shit. And video,
it's Reader's video Digest worthy.
Video is how people are doing it. They're not doing it anonymously. They don't give a shit. Like they're going to talk shit about your company, their boss. And if I were Recruit Holdings, I would back up the truck to call Ben, write a check, and put this into Glassdoor and Indeed, because the reviews that are going on those sites in text are going down. So they need to be able to track all this video stuff outside of the text world and put that on for employers to watch. So I think personally, this is a huge innovation at FAMA. Way beyond text on Twitter. That stuff's easy. This stuff is hard if they can pull it off. So big shout out to our friends at FAMA.
Yeah, I think that's how you take some of these old crotchety background check companies and you make them worthwhile. You absorb a FAMA and then you start to do those types of things. Yeah, I think FAMA has a great exit opportunities all over the place.
Yeah, Checker, Sterling.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, my shout out is more around a market watch. Let's just call it that. What are you streaming these days? Are you guys watching anything, Netflix, anything like that?
Sure. Better Call Saul is a big one. The Masters of the Skies or the Air. It's on Apple. It's World War II. B-17 is flying. Yeah, the whole campaign there. Gotcha. For sure. Yeah, streaming all the time. I'm mad that I can't get Six Nations easily. And we got some big matches coming up in rugby that our I can't get it. I gotta get Peacock or Paramount or some shit. Like it's too much. It's too much. So anyway,
it's too much.
Back
it's
to your point much. Of what am I streaming?
So, I mean, we actually just finished up on Brother Son on Netflix, which is great. So check that out. But what I wanted to be able to fade into here is the streaming market. And Walmart acquires the smart TV company Vizio for $2.3 billion. So I haven't personally been in a Walmart for about 2 to 3 years. I might even be four. I do remember that Vizios mm-hmm. were very prominent in the TV section. And I thought Walmart owned them already. But the question is, how does Walmart's purchase possibly outflank the Apple TVs, Amazon, Fire, Roku, and Chromecast? Mm-hmm. I mean, you take a page out of Apple's playbook, you become the OS, you know, the operating system, the rails to how people actually stream. And if you bought a TV over the past few years, you've probably purchased a smart TV, which is connected to the Wi-Fi, has preloaded apps in an app store. Which means, you know, I don't need to purchase a separate Roku or Chromecast. I mean, that's really where we're moving. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't need to buy a streaming stick, boxes or whatever the hell they come out with, will Walmart then charge a VIG on purchases made through the Vizio TV? You rent a movie through the Amazon app. Does Walmart get a cut? Very Apple-esque. Yeah. So then there's the advertising network aspect of it, which is very large. Mm-hmm. So as the U.S. market continues to consolidate and we have less and less choice of places to spend our dollar, as we've seen a lot of these organizations, Disney Plus consolidation, pulling content off, HBO Max doing the exact same types of things.
Yeah.
What happens when Walmart has an acquisition in a play like this in the space? I think it's pretty big.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. You know, the phone screen is that's played. The iPad or tablet, that's played. Yeah. The TV and I guess maybe the car. I mean, the Internet of Things really isn't happening. My refrigerator isn't a TV yet. So it is open field to make a really big move. I think that Amazon recently allows you to have multiple services. So it's like mm-hmm. one login and then you can get access Hulu or Netflix or all the different ones you have. So they're trying to have like be a platform for all the streaming services. So I could definitely see a day where you buy Vizio TV, you give it your username for all these streaming services and you just turn on the TV and it's all there already logged in. And then of course you mentioned the shopping thing. Hey, you like Ted Lasso's Nikes or Nikes may be bad. Does Walmart sell Nikes? I have no idea, but they could have something where like, hey, if you like so-and-so's outfit, you know, we have it on sale, click here and then you got your credit card in there. So
then they deliver it to you,
in an Amazon van. I don't know, but that's pretty interesting.
Walmart van.
Good for a move because no one's buying the Walmart phone. I can tell you that. No one is buying.
And I mean, they're trying to outflank each other. And while mm-hmm. that's happening, a lot of these smaller, very innovative companies are getting either acquired or crushed. Mm-hmm. And again, that's what I'm talking about. Our choices here in the U.S. are going down, down, down. These big companies are buying all of those brands and either putting them under their umbrella or they're just absorbing them entirely. So this is definitely a space to watch, I think.
Chad's new favorite store.
Oops, winning.
Walmart. Well, no word if OnlyFans is going to be on these Walmart TVs of the future, hello. Chad. But you're probably familiar with Alexei Navalny in Russia. Yes. Putin's,
rest in peace, yes.
Putin's doghouse for sure is one dog lighter this week. However, there's a new public enemy number one in Russia. Her name is Lolita Bogdanova.
Is that her real name?
That's a horrible sexy name, if that is her sexy name. She is an OnlyFans model. And 2 years ago, she posted some pics in front of St. Basil's Cathedral Church, which is one of the real popular, like, has those Russian top, you know, little bubble things that you've seen online. Anyway, she
cool architecture.
Posted topless. Put these things online and 2 years, two, 3 years later, Putin is fit to be tied. Apparently she is public enemy number one. She's hiding out in the U.S. somewhere. Unlike Navalny, I don't think she's going to go back to Russia and face, you know, the gulag. But for now she's safe and happy in the U.S., but she better watch out because Putin has a way of finding you and making you pay. No word on whether or not he's subscribed to her OnlyFans channel, but I wouldn't be too surprised.
Probably mad that he didn't get free access, and or this is literally just something that she made up so that she can get a story out there, which is, you know,
they have pictures online.
Welcome to America.
It's pixeled out for the kid friendly websites.
Not saying that the pictures don't exist. I don't say that the pictures don't exist. I'm just saying the story around the pictures. I don't know. But you know what Lolita can do? She can enjoy free stuff with Chad and Cheese. She can go to chadcheese.com/free where she could possibly have, oh, I don't know, craft beer delivered to her front door from our friends at Aspen Tech Labs. Mm-hmm. Whiskey, that's two bottles of whiskey from Joel and myself, from Text Kernel, our friends over there, the AI matching machines. T-shirts from Who, Joel?
We have a new t-shirt sponsor, Chad. We're very excited. They almost tripped over themselves to sign up to be the sponsor of, let's be honest, the industry's most popular t-shirt. The most popular, comfortable, cool t-shirt is from the Chad and Cheese podcast. So we have a new design in process. We're hoping to have these for a future conference coming up soon. But our friends Aaron, to learn more about these guys, they do employee referrals. Just go to Aaron, that's E-R-I-N app.com. And we're real excited to have them on board as this year's t-shirt sponsor.
Yep. New designs looking good.
Almost as happy as the birthday folks.
Really? Can you feel the tension in the air right now? I know I can.
Feel it.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
That's right, Chad. I don't know if you mentioned it or if you've heard, but the folks at Plum are sponsoring a bottle of rum for one lucky winner who's celebrating a birthday. And celebrating another trip around the sun are Chad and Cheese listeners, Ryan Filman, Maria Enia, Ross Granger, Sarah Mara, Rebecca Horn, Mike Whiston, and your homeboy, Ethan Bloomfield, are all celebrating another trip around the sun. Happy birthday, everybody.
Excellent. Well, and hopefully we can see some of those people when we're doing, guess what? Events, kids, events. That's right. We're going to be at Transform March 11th through 14th, where we're going to be at the Wynn in Vegas. Over 3,000 attendees, 100 plus investors, hundreds of startups, shit tons of speakers. And it's going to be a good time. We're going to give away five free tickets. That's right. Just go to chadcheese.com. In the header, you'll see, just click on win free tickets. I tried to make it easy for you. Win free tickets. What you're going to do is you're going to register for free stuff. That's right. All the stuff we talked about before, the possibility of winning free beer, whiskey, t-shirts, maybe even on your birthday, getting rum from Plum. Mm-hmm. Also, you might get an opportunity to win a free ticket into Transform. So check that out. Then play the Keboo. Oh, yeah. You know what that means, right? That means we are going to Amsterdam.
It is now
Amsterdam.
The time when we dance.
Now it's the time when we dance. We're gonna hop on a plane to Amsterdam. That was the official e-recruitment Congress Keboo playlist, or at least the start of the Keboo playlist. March 19th, it's the e-recruitment Congress where the knowledge will be flowing, the beer will be flowing, and hopefully, Leaven brings enough beer for everybody, because I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to get ours. Okay. It's going to be a full day in Amsterdam dedicated to filling your brain with all the good stuff from this industry, all around the AI shift and recruitment and technology. And we also have a special discount that you can find. Listen up, kids. ChadCheese.com. Click on the events link in the upper right hand corner, or just go to ChadCheese.com/events. We had to wrestle that discount code away from leaving.
We made him drink a six pack of Heineken, or threaten him with a six pack of Heineken, or else we're gonna really.
Hi, Poppy.
Can't wait to get back to Europe. All right. Well, before we get to some news, Chad, we've got
playoffs.
Layoff news. Oi, oi, oi. All right. The year of efficiency marches on, Chad. Nike CEO John Donahoe took responsibility for the company's recent underperformance and announced layoffs of more than 1,500 employees to, quote, reignite growth, end quote. The decision reflects broader trends of companies, including Google and Meta, cutting staff to enhance efficiency and address changing consumer behaviors. The stock was down on the news. Chad, your take.
So I ultimately hold myself and my leadership accountable, said John Donahoe, from the CEO of Nike. How did you hold yourself responsible?
You're lying! Lies! Lies! When will the lies end?
Yahoo Finance reports John has a market capitalization of $153 billion with a B, kids. A total annual CEO comp was reported at $33 million for last year, the year 2023. That's an increase of 14% over the year before. A failure receives 14%. It took wage earners in the U.S. 40 plus years just to hit that mark in wage increases. It took 40 years. This motherfucker did it while he was failing in 1 year. Mm-hmm. ZipRecruiter reports the median income of Nike employees is $56,000, which means the CEO, good old John, the failure, is paid nearly 600 times that of a Nike commoner. So that doesn't include the comp for the rest of the failed Nike leadership team. So blowing these employees off will not reignite growth. Firing yourself would provide an opportunity to get a leader in the seat who's not a pure fucking failure. Fire two others from the leadership team and allow all of those 1,500 workers to keep their damn jobs. This is the problem with the whole structure that we're in. These motherfuckers are getting paid 600 times, some even more than the people who are actually doing the work. They look at themselves and say, yeah, no, I failed on this one, but I'm going to cut 1,500 heads. No, fuck you. You should be out the door. This is not the way that business should work.
How the hell is Nike not one of the most profitable companies in the world? All I see is fucking Nikes on people, from the kids to the old folks to me. Anyway, that's an aside. What I found interesting was that the stock didn't move much. Like I assumed with Meta doing what it did and Google, like I thought firing some people would really ignite the stock.
You're talking tech versus material goods.
Yeah. So the question is tech the only segment that can say year of efficiency and actually get rewarded for it on Wall Street? I guess time will tell, but that surprised me. I thought there would be a domino effect of companies talking about efficiency and layoffs, and that Wall Street would go nuts. Unless every penny in Wall Street is going to Nvidia, which would not surprise me at the moment. this was kind of shocking. Yeah. Nvidia is like Barbie for dudes. It's like,
oh dude, yeah. I'm going to tell you. And again, this is not me. This is only my opinion. I have put some cash, actually, Julie, we put some cash into some Nvidia over the last months. I mean, just watching what's happening, and you know, they are actually gauging demand. They know what demand is, and they're not producing to demand. They are not. Uh-huh. They never have, and they never will.
We have some hidden audio from the headquarters at NVIDIA. Things are good at NVIDIA, to say the least.
Super yachts and hoes, yeah.
All right, Chad, here's a roundup of some interesting news that our listeners might enjoy. Financial Review is reporting U.S. tech investor Battery Ventures is ready to cash out of talent management platform PageUp after writing a check in 2018 for an undisclosed amount. Launched way back in the 90s, PageUp is headquartered in Melbourne, but they service 190 countries. Want some more fire sale goodness? Background check solution HireRight is being acquired by investment funds affiliated with General Atlantic and Stone Point Capital for approximately $1.65 billion. The transaction is expected to close later this year. But wait, Chad, there's more. Sources, particularly sources that you are connected with, are telling us that Beamery's CTO and co-founder Michael Patterson are out and that they're primed to be acquired by Workday. Chad, everything must go. What are your thoughts?
Let's take this one by one. PageUp. So how do you say fire sale without saying fire sale? I think they did a really good, they had a good example there, right? Now, from the BV funding press release back in 2018, quote, PageUp will use some of the new funding to increase its already significant focus on product research and development. In addition, PageUp plans to continue its global expansion and may seek acquisitions to offer more products to more customers in the complementary markets, end quote. So we did see some acquisitions clinch, Acru and PathMotion. Those really didn't move the dial much. I know that they were trying to get into some of those markets, the UK markets mainly. PathMotion was a French company. It's interesting that these organizations like PageUp only took $10 million prior to this undisclosed major, you know, funding event. Why did they do that? Right? They've been around for a very long time. Were they looking to try to gain explosive growth? They might have. The problem is, if you remember, I know we talked about this, PageUp was trying to target the US, right? An Australian company trying to target the US, not easy.
Only Outback Steakhouse has accomplished such a feat.
If you've got a blooming onion, you might be good. If you don't, you're probably fucked. They went to the UK and they did some acquisitions in the UK, which helped them, I think, from a portfolio standpoint, but it didn't really launch them like I think they thought they would be in Europe. They really had no chance in the US unless they bought something. So this doesn't surprise me. And we've been talking about this for months now. We're going to see a lot of this happening.
Yeah. If Crocodile Dundee is still around, he's kicking somebody in the ass, because this was an old company in internet terms. It was a company that had 300-400 employees. The average tenure is 3.7 years, which is a long time in our world. So by all accounts, you had a long-term company that had happy employees. I hear everyone's happy in Australia, but maybe that's an outlier. So 2018, we had a lot of money going into the ATS space. iSIMS was getting money, Greenhouse, Smart Recruiters. Like, you can go back in our archives, and this was a time when like a lot of money was going into these platforms. PageUp clearly said, oh shit, if we're going to compete, we got to go get some money. Call up Battery Ventures in the US. The US has the money. So like, let's get some cash. This was 2018, 2024. If my math is correct, that puts us into year 7 of this relationship. And clearly things aren't going the way that Battery Ventures had hoped that they would. Cue the Smart Recruiters news from last week of a failed deal that didn't go through. We'll talk about some other things as well. I'm sure you'll talk about Beamery. And so anyway, you have an environment where a lot of money went in. People took that money. 6-7 years henceforth, it didn't turn out. All these venture capitalists want their cash. And now it's time to pay the piper. PageUp ran out of time. They made a stupid decision when everyone was making stupid decisions. And now it's time to say, you know, either acquisition or maybe private equity comes in and chops it up a la Career Builder style. But by all accounts, this was a kind of cool, happy, long-term company. And bye-bye. Will it be a boomerang? I doubt it. PageUp.
No, I don't think it will.
Page down, more like it. You know what I'm saying?
HireRight, so they raised $422.2 million, a little bit more than PageUp did. Jesus. Their net worth to date is about $960 million as of, that was February 20th. So this is the highest the stock has been in the last 2 years. So it's probably smart they sell as soon as humanly possible. The sale seems smart, but what about the buy? In this case, what do you think? Was this a smart buy?
I don't know enough about it to say if it was smart or not. I've been on record many times saying that the background check industry sucks.
It's boring.
It's awful. I mean, HireRight, by all accounts, is the number two player. Stocks hit a low about a year ago. Sterling, for sure, has been on an upswing since then. I think the year of efficiency, they've been very efficient in what they've done. The market cap on HireRight is $950 million. So they paid 1.5 or so for that company. So, I mean, it's a good company. It's got customers that aren't leaving. Look, when you, it's like an ATS. When you select a background check provider, you stick with that provider, because it's not like there's much difference in any of them. So they have a client base that's probably not going anywhere. You're not going to get a 10x return on this. So take it private, you know, get out from under the Wall Street, criticism. And it's probably a fine deal for a private equity or company that bought this deal. But the background check business sucks. I mean, they're going to chop this thing up. They're going to fire people. They're going to milk as much profit as out of this as possible. So if you work at HireRight, man, whoo, time to update that LinkedIn profile for sure.
Not going to be fun, kids. Not going to be fun. And not another place where it's not going to be fun, where there is smoke, there is fire. And when there is fire, in this case, there is fire. Mm-hmm. What do I mean by that? Beamery CTO slash co-founder Michael Patterson exited stage left earlier this year. Prior to that, in January of last year, 2023, Beamery laid off 11% and then ended the year with a 25% layoff in November. My sources say Beamery is doing their damnedest to get acquired by Workday. That's the rumor. So if the rumor is true, I would expect Workday to wait Beamery out to get more of a fire sale price. I do know that I believe Workday does have money in there, but it's pretty much paying yourself. So try to get that price down. And I would strongly suggest, this is just my personal opinion, strongly suggest that any company dropping an RFP anytime soon should not include PageUp or Beamery. Okay, that's just my opinion, but turbulent vendors are not where I would not personally spend my budget, kids. Okay. And this just in from an anonymous source out of Scotland, mm-hmm. anonymous, quote, Beamery was never more than aperture with a shinier pitch deck, end quote.
Welcome to all things Scottish. Our slogan is, if it's no Scottish, it's crap.
Dude, I'm on record as Beamery is a shit show. You talked about the money that came in, I got nothing but just like how bad the situation is. So Workday is interesting. You're right. I think they were in on the Series C. We don't know exactly how much, like publicly, that they put in, but these were big rounds that Beamery was a unicorn. It ain't anymore. That's for sure.
No
chance. So that means, you know, most of the employees' stock options are for shit. This company, from what I understand, is bleeding clients, can't get new clients. Like, it's just a bad scene. If Workday could buy it on the cheap, the TJ clearance, you know, sale rack and save face. And there may be a situation where all the other investors are like, come on, Workday, like, do us a solid, you know, exit these guys so we can, you know, with our dignity, get out as well. But if Workday comes in, the Beamery brand is done. Everyone that works there is probably done until they segment into all the clients that are Beamery into Workday. If they're not already, they'll take some of the tech, I'm assuming. But this has all the writings of dead on arrival for Beamery. And it's just bad news. A couple of other thoughts on the background check thing. Sorry, we kind of jumped around there, but
circle. Go ahead.
Checker is interesting. Checker took a ton of money. Uh-huh. They, at one point in 2019, they were valued at $4.6 billion, nowhere near the market share of like Sterling or HireRight. HireRight just sold for $1.5 billion. So talk about bad situations. Checker is a bad situation in terms of stock options. I mean, there's no way that Checker is in that $4.6 billion universe. And by the way, Sterling, who's the biggest 800-pound gorilla in the background check business, is now at a $2.5 billion market cap. So it's not unrealistic to think that Checker has gone from $4+ billion to well under $1 billion in valuation. So talk about bad situations. I wanted to highlight that as well. I think Checker's in a bad spot for sure.
Whew. Well, let's get into some small startups as opposed to these unicorns,
Let's move away from this madness.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Someone may have been bitten by a venomous insect in Australia. Australia's Hatch has raised roughly $4.6 million, self-described as, quote, Seek. If you don't know what Seek is, American listeners, it's sort of the equivalent of Monster in Australia. Anyway, Seek for Gen Z. That's right. The platform uses AI to match Gen Z professionals with jobs based on their values and skills, aiming to disrupt traditional job boards. Of course they are. Chad, what are your thoughts on yet another job board?
This is very interesting. Not just the job board aspect of it, but Australia's population is smaller than California or Canada. So around 26 million. And then they're taking that size down dramatically by targeting Gen Z, which makes their market, their user market, roughly 4.7 million at best.
Just
right?
The tip.
So I love me a focused company, but here's where they're going to be spending that money. Number one, product enhancements, including AI matching technology. Never heard that before, have you? User growth, geographic growth, expanding nationwide over two-year period before becoming a global platform. They're not even national yet. And then growing the Hatch team with ML and AI. So in Australia, competitors are Seek, Indeed, and the National Workforce Australia site, right? So now your competition are big names, although they're not excessive, and they're not going to create an entirely new user experience for all job seekers across Australia instead of just target Gen Z. So my personal opinion, Hatch doesn't understand the basic math as they're too narrowly focused on a small 4.7 million cohort of possible Gen Zers. Could the same strategy fly in the US where Gen Z represents 68.6 million people in our population, over twice that, the entire population of Australia? Yes, it's a numbers game, kids. I don't think these guys understand numbers. My advice to them, find an MVP, sell the MVP in markets that you're already penetrated, drive revenue. That's the big key. This is the time for slow and smart growth. Plus, everybody needs a damn job. So yes, you can have those areas on the site for Gen Z, but go general. You don't have a large enough population to play this incredibly super niche game. I like the idea, but from a mass standpoint, it doesn't work.
That escalated quickly.
So I'm glad you took it into the cerebral realm of math, because I'm going to take it somewhere else. Seriously, somebody's smoking some poisonous frog juju. Look, history is riddled with targeting younger consumers with a cooler hip product that isn't your father's and your mother's. It works. It works.
This isn't your mother's job, boy.
When it works, it works. Okay. Ford released the Mustang. It's like, this ain't your daddy's Studebaker. It's not the Model T. This is the car for the new generation. That works.
Yeah.
It usually does not. I'll bring up the cola wars. You might remember Virgin Cola. You might remember Jolt Cola from the 80s. You probably remember Pepsi's horrible. The choice of a new generation. Okay. All the cool kids are drinking Pepsi, right? Hopefully it'll, you know, it's supposed to make you look cool, make you more accessible to, sexual partners. Like, sometimes it works, it doesn't. Now, to think that it's going to work in the job search arena, give me a break, man. I mean, it's not your daddy's job board. Like, that just doesn't really play to anybody. And these guys are putting like holistic job board, like full self connect, like they're using words that are so snowflakey. Sorry to get anti-woke on you, but it's like so snowflakey. It's so bad. It's like Handshake and Polywork saying, we're not LinkedIn. We're for the cool kids. We're the cool LinkedIn. So these are going to be the cool job board, right? We're not Seek. We're not those old fogies that listen to NXS albums from the 80s, right? I think you know, I'm not big on job boards anyway. To launch a job board and say, we're not your daddy's job board, basically, I think is a failed venture. It reminds me a lot of Otta. You remember Otta from about a year ago?
Just got bought.
Okay, yeah. Paul Forster invested in that, and it was sort of the same thing. Like, we're different than Indeed, or we're different than these guys. What happened to Otta? They kind of like snuck away.
The best thing Otta did was their advertising. That was the best thing they did.
Which I don't even remember. It was so good, I don't even know what the hell it is. So they kind of sold in the dead of night. There wasn't even a press release, I don't think. It's like somebody found out about from some public announcement that they had been acquired by somebody. So that's where Hatch is going. Hatch needs to go back in the egg, go back in the uterus, and like go home, because this is just not going to work out well.
You've been hatched.
I love Australia. I love the spirit and the thought behind this, but yeah, this is like Beamery. or any of the other crash lands that we've talked about. Oh my God,
I need a break.
I'm worked up, Chad. Let's take a quick break.
Human resources is supposed to be about humans. I mean, it's right there in the name. But when your hiring team is more like an assembly line, glued to their computers, manually posting heaps of jobs everywhere they can think of, that human part feels nowhere to be found. This is a new era. Pando IQ takes the mind-numbing copy-pasting and nerve-wracking guesswork out of the job posting process. When you plan a hiring campaign with Pando IQ, you tell us who you need. Then, before you ever spend a cent, we predict what it will cost to find them. Pando IQ chooses the ideal recruiting sites from thousands of options, targeting the ones your next great hire frequently visits, then fires off your ads at precisely calculated times, surfacing the most relevant applicants for you to pick from. Now you're free to get to know the best talent, build great teams, and take care of your humans. Pando IQ will do the rest, so you can get back to doing what the computers can't.
For more information on Pando IQ, go to pandologic.com. That's pandologic.com.
Oh, I had to have a cold Foster's to chill me out there. I needed some Alice Springs, chicken to make me feel better about myself.
Blooming onion with some Alice Springs chicken.
All right, Chad. Well, no show would be complete without talk of Elon, SpaceX, Tesla, or all of the above. So in the news this week, Amazon, SpaceX, and Trader Joe's, one of these things is not like the other, are challenging the constitutionality of the National Labor Relations Board, or what the kids call the NLRB, in disputes related to workers' rights and organizing. Amazon argues the NLRB structure violates the separation of powers and denies due process, echoing similar claims by SpaceX and Trader Joe's. Chad, your thoughts on the latest from the NLRB attack?
Whew. So the National Labor Relations Board is an independent federal agency with the power to safeguard employees' rights to organize and determine whether to have unions as their bargaining representative, right? The agency also acts to prevent and remedy unfair labor practices committed by private sector employees and employers and union. Unfair labor practices like, I don't know, employees having to piss in Amazon warehouse garbage cans. Unfair labor practices like allowing children to work on construction sites, slaughterhouses, and 8 to 10 hours jobs instead of going to school. I mean, Amazon alone has faced over 250 complaints alleging unlawful practices. Musk and SpaceX is under fire from the NLRB for retaliating. It's not a good thing to retaliate against 8 engineers who criticized Musk in a letter to the company executives. So Seth Goldstein, who's actually an attorney who represents both Amazon Labor Union and the labor group Trader Joe's United, stated, quote, "Since they can't defeat successful union organizers, they now want to just destroy the whole process." Goldstein also said that pending cases could embolden other employers to refuse to bargain with unions on the behalf of the courts. We're in an age of chaos right now. These companies are looking to try to break the system. They want this to go up to the Supreme Court in the hopes that they do the Roe versus Wade dance, and they kill this too.
Another one.
Yeah, I mean, you took the words out of my mouth for the most part. I think there's blood in the water and the sharks are circling. People see this as an opportunity to take a conservative-leaning, heavily-leaning Supreme Court and basically upturn a lot of things that have been the law of the land, in this case, since the 30s, and destroy it. And you mentioned Roe versus Wade, affirmative action, which couple interviews we did this week, I don't think we appreciate the impact that it's had on companies' demeanors in terms of DEI. So now it's like, could we possibly, if we can overturn Roe and affirmative action, this should be a piece of cake. Let's get the Supreme Court on this. Let's hear this case. And the Supreme Court, which something that would have been unbelievable 10 years ago, five years ago.
Oh yeah.
Now is reality. Like, this organization that you so eloquently put in terms of protecting workers that don't have unions to sort of protect them. Now that could be gone.
And then also, I didn't mention this, but they're also looking for, I think Musk was talking about, or Trader Joe's is looking for a jury trial. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. All you're trying to do is extend out how long this happens, right? And they know that the NLRB, like any organization within the government, only has so many individuals. So they can only take on so many cases, mm-hmm. right? So if they can extend out the amount of time those individuals are taking, then they cannot enforce the law, right? So they're literally just trying to fuck the system.
What the hell is Trader Joe's getting involved in this mix? That shocked me. Trader Joe's, the good folks at Trader Joe's. Come on, man. That's a bummer, yeah. man.
Now they're being aligned with Elon Musk and Amazon.
That's a party, man. That's a party. All right, let's get on to LinkedIn.
Okay. Yes.
Well, they've had a pretty rough month, Chad. I know you're sad about that. Anyway, North Korean hackers are using AI tools like ChatGPT to conduct phishing scams on LinkedIn, aiming to fund their nuclear weapons program. But wait, Chad, there's more. A new class action lawsuit against LinkedIn alleges the company unlawfully tracked its members' activities on the California DMV website to obtain personal disability information, which was then used for undisclosed purposes. The plaintiff seeks to represent a California class and claims LinkedIn violated privacy laws, demanding damages in a jury trial. So, Chad, from the DMZ to the DMV, what are your thoughts on LinkedIn's no good bummer of a month?
This is about as ballsy as it gets. I mean, not only are we going to big brother the fuck out of you, but we're going to thumb our nose at the government while we're doing it. Where LinkedIn fucked up is they did this in California. If this happened in Utah or Indiana or any of the other red states, they wouldn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't care about it. It would go off. It wouldn't matter, right? Whatever. They were making money, right? They had this advertising thing. We got a GDP. It's all about GDP. California is an entirely different animal.
It's Europe of America.
Yeah, the only one that keeps most of us straight. So yeah, it's interesting. It will be interesting to see how this progresses and then who gets smacked around for this. LinkedIn, again, really focusing heavy on trying to generate revenue. Apparently they went too far. Mm-hmm. I mean, apparently they went too far.
60% of the time it works every time.
When nobody's watching.
So let's touch on this North Korea thing. This sounds like a Seth Rogen comedy. So North Korea is utilizing AI tools to look like recruiters, to contact people on LinkedIn that, I don't know, have nuclear physicist and whatever else in their title. These are not dummies or unemployed like rubes. And they're chatting them up almost like that whole... what do they call it? Like pig slaughtering or whatever, when you get a random text saying like, hey, are we still doing lunch? And then 6 months of chatting with this person, they're like selling you crypto. That's what this sounds like. Like they're chatting you up as a recruiter, getting you to be friends. And then I don't know, they're asking you nuclear secrets or something, or trying to hire you to North. I don't know how, that's how this isn't working, because people are realizing like, okay, the English is a little bit off. Something doesn't quite seem right here, but how far do we have to go until they do sound like they're credible? When till video comes into till, you know, like actual voices come in. So this to me is a preliminary fear factor element that we should be aware of, that North Koreans are trying to recruit with AI nuclear physicists to build bombs and missiles and all kinds of shit. So that's kind of scary. It's a little bit off the beaten path in terms of like
more
legitimacy, but it is scary. Yeah. It's a little bit weird. Okay. Yeah. Like, watch out there, kids. And by the way, we had a call with, the job board doctor, and we talked about like threats to the industry. Like, to me, the biggest threat to the job board, whatever industry is, the call is from inside the house, whether it's, we don't do a good enough job of protecting our users, whether people are getting phished and scammed and our data is getting breached on a regular basis. Yep. Like, to me, that's the biggest threat, is they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. And LinkedIn is walking a tight wire with stuff like this to really put itself in jeopardy. If I were LinkedIn, man, I mean, or any big tech company, this This is a real threat. GDPR needs to happen in California, which it kind of has already.
In the U.S.
In the U.S.
In the entire U.S. When the European Union is ahead of us, and they are so far ahead of us on all this stuff because they actually give a shit. And that's the problem that we're having. We care more about the profits that are being made over than other than the people who are getting fucked. Mm-hmm.
And worse than that, Chad, the Chinese are way ahead of us as well. Let's take a quick break.
Are you struggling to attract the talent you need today? Do you lack visibility into where your recruitment ad dollars are really going? There's a better way. Acquire ROI is a programmatic job advertising platform built to optimize your budget and supercharge hiring. Acquire ROI automatically manages and measures recruitment ads across job boards, so you can allocate your budget based on insights, not hunches. Get to quality candidates faster and cost-effectively scale hiring across roles, all while gaining complete visibility and control over your recruitment marketing investments. Say goodbye to manual guesswork, inconsistent performance, and wasted spending. And hello to optimized automated campaigns that produce qualified applicants. At Acquire ROI, we make job advertising easy. Visit us at acquireroi.com and start transforming your talent acquisition today.
All right, Chad, as is normally our sin of recording the show during lunchtime, let's talk about some food. Starbucks has introduced a braised pork-flavored latte. Let me say that again, a braised pork-flavored latte in China to celebrate the Lunar New Year, priced at almost $10 USD. Reviews are mixed, with some finding it surprisingly delicious and others deeming it, quote, disgusting. Well, more food and beverage news, Chad. Gabriela Rodriguez, a cleaner at a top London law firm, was fired after eating a leftover tuna sandwich valued at about £2, as they say in England, from a meeting room. Devonshire's solicitors, the law firm, reportedly did not make a formal complaint, but her employer, Total Clean, gave her the axe anyway for stealing. Chad, UVW, a union representing migrant workers, is taking legal action over claims of unfair dismissal and race discrimination. It's enough to give you indigestion, Chad. Am I right? What are your thoughts on our food block of stories?
Salty sweet coffee. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and eject out of that one right out of the gate. I mean, and again, there are many different tastes all over the world, right? This one just ain't for me. The sandwich thing, I mean, if she found the sandwich after hours, like it was just laying there, right, in a conference room.
Prep for trash.
Wasn't in the fridge, huh?
It was prep for trash. It didn't have like Bob on it.
Yeah. Even if it did have Bob on it, it was in a conference room. Okay. So big fucking deal. I mean, to me, again, retaliating against employees over stupid shit like this makes no sense whatsoever. And for I understand a lot of businesses, they're like, well, we don't want to lose the business. Well, you also have to say, look, anything that you don't want us to throw away or eat or drink, get out of the fucking way. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. And then back to the porky coffee. I don't get it. I'm going to have Julie go get one and then we'll see.
Clearly, Chad, your palate is just totally wrong on this one. Coffee and bacon. Sign me up, my friend. We already have it in the form of eggs and bacon with coffee. We're just taking a step out and throwing the bacon in the coffee. I mean, look, it's like a Bloody Mary for a new generation, right? Instead of tomato juice and everything else, we're taking coffee and throwing everything into that.
We're going to call it the hatch.
Breakfast in a cup is what this is. On the go breakfast, bacon in your coffee. I mean, what isn't better without coffee or without bacon, Chad?
What's that?
Nothing.
What?
Everything is better with bacon. Everything is better with bacon. All right. Now let's get to our friend. Our friend Gabriela. By the way, I had my physical last week and I'm good to go, man. Another year of debauchery and over service for me, my friend. So let's get to Gabriela here.
Yes.
Okay. She's a single mother from Ecuador. She had been an employee for 2 years prior. So she wasn't like, first week on the job, get the hell out of here.
Right.
This was done right around the holidays. And like I said, the sandwich was prepped for the trash. It wasn't like she stole it out of the fridge, or it was nice and hot in the microwave. Like, it was trash. Seriously, these fuckers at Total Clean should have to eat a shit sandwich. There's no bacon on the shit sandwich, Chad, because it might actually be edible if you put bacon on it, my friend. It might actually be good with bacon on it. Free Gabriella, I say. Free Gabriella. We out.
Wow. Look at you. You made it through an entire episode of the Chad and Cheese podcast. Or maybe you cheated and fast-forwarded to the end. Either way, there's no doubt you wish you had that time back. Valuable time you could have used to buy a nutritious meal at Taco Bell, enjoy a pour of your favorite whiskey, or just watch big booty Latinas and bug fights on TikTok. No, you hung out with these two chuggleheads instead. Now go take a shower and wash off all the guilt. But save some soap, because you'll be back. Like an awful train wreck, you can't look away. And like Chad's favorite Western, you can't quit them either. We out.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.